Help us to face it without fear or anxiety. This day is full of beauty and adventure. Help us to be fully alive to it all. During this day, may we become more thoughtful people, more prayerful, generous, and kind people. Help us not to be turned into ourselves, but to be sensitive and helpful to others, eager to bring joy to all. Let us grow in integrity and in fidelity to the truth. Help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Holy Spirit, shine through us and be so in us that every person we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look and see no longer us, but only you, Jesus. When night comes, may we look back upon this day without regrets, and may no one suffer needlessly because of anything we have done or failed to do. Lord, bless this day for us. Make it a day in which we walk so closely with you that nothing can come between us. In your name we pray, all saying, Amen.
Going to be louder now. How about that? Three weeks away often seems like a long time ago. But it's good to be back with you. For those of you who don't know, 3 weeks ago I was in the middle of Iowa with Doug. I didn't know Doug was going until like the last minute. And it was so good to be with him. He even rode with me. Isn't that nice? It is nice to ride across Interstate 80 with Doug. But we were there in the middle of Iowa in Pella for Synod, the Synod of the Christian Reformed Church. How many of you know what Synod is? How many of you have no idea what Synod is? Anybody have no idea what Synod is? All right. So Synod is the gathering of our church, our denomination. Our church has local churches like Monroe Community Church. It has groups of churches called classes that are make up of different regions. We're part of Grand Rapids South. And then there's the denomination. There's all those groups. So there's about over 1,000 churches, Christian Reformed churches in the United States and Canada. And each year, for 1 week, they send delegates, four delegates from each classes, 47 classes around across the country and Canada, to a location to talk about matters that affect all of our churches, not just local churches, but all of our churches. And so I went as a pastor delegate from Grand Rapids South, and it was a historic synod. Doug and I got to be part of kind of a momentous decision that was made. 150 years ago, give or take a few years, the Reformed Church and the Christian Reformed Church split. They went two kind of different directions. And for 150 years, they've kind of been tracking on two different directions. We had a joint synod. The RCA and the CRC both had their synods going on at the same time 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, in Pella, Iowa. And we had a lot of meetings, actually, together. And there's been a lot of work over the past couple of years to, instead of be going this way, to go this way. And to even come this way, to come back together again. And there was a decision or a motion brought before both synods to work together, to begin to work together rather than to work side by side or apart, but to to work together for the mission of God. And that passed unanimously. I think the people who brought the motion were a little surprised, as was everybody else that was there. But there was a spirit of unity and togetherness there that I think hasn't been experienced for a very, very long time. A lot of hurts and past pains were confessed, and it was good to be there. I have heard about Cinder for a long time, but I had the opportunity to go and kind of figure out, a couple of you asked me, you know, what was it like? And now I kind of understand how that part of our church works. And I'd highly recommend going. So if you're ever on the vision team, you're ever an elder or part of the council of our church here, of the vision team, please consider going. You get to meet people from all over the country. And it was, just a great time to be there. And if you can, bring Doug with you too. So that's good. Okay? Bible Bistro, is there anybody in Bible Bistro here this morning? George, are you the only one? I think you're the only one, man. All right. So normally you go out after the message. Don't do that. Stay. We're going to celebrate communion first. And then if you don't want to go at all, you can just stay with us. That's fine too. Or you can go with whoever's going to be on for Bible Bistro today. Okay? How do you remember the scavenger hunt that we had a couple of weeks ago? Wonderful. During this next month, we're going to have a number of events where we're going to get to experience North Monroe in another way. We're going to join gatherings that are happening at different times and different locations. People gather in our neighborhood, and we're going to go gather with them to rub shoulders and meet with them and to experience them. Eric, did you talk about this a little bit while I'm gone? Yes, so you know a little bit about what's going on. Well, today, there's game night at Reardon's. 4:00 over at Reardon's, which is in the Boardwalk building. They have game nights every so often. If you'd like to go, Kathy Radin is going to be there. Feel free to join other people who like to play all kinds of different games. Okay? Next Friday morning at 8:00, there's a business association meeting. Leaders from our neighborhood gather in the basement of the Boardwalk building. If you would like to go to that, you can meet me here at 7:45 on Friday morning. And then Christine often comes, Gord often comes already. But if you would like to join us and kind of experience that, be here at 7:45 and we'll walk over there. The nice thing about it is somebody brings donuts. I don't know who brings donuts, but there's donuts there. So you know me. I like a donut, so I go to the meeting. It's pretty great. Okay. I like the people there too. But come Friday, 7:45, 7:45, and we'll walk down. You can park here at church and we'll walk down together. Next Saturday, Speakeasy. There are World Cup maniacs over there. Okay? We have two World Cup maniacs right here, Evan and Stephanie. Next Saturday at 4:00, maybe even 3:30, they're going to be over at Speakeasy to watch a World Cup game. So who's your team? Who's your team? There you go, Sid. There you go. The Netherlands, right? Are they going to do it? There you go. I know. Hooray for shootouts. That's right. Come on, Netherlands. So, got to go to orange. That's who I'm rooting for until they're out, and then we'll see who's left. How about that? Okay, so if you want to watch a World Cup game, experience some soccer mania, join Evan and Stephanie. So, three opportunities to experience Monroe North in different ways. Okay? And one other thing I got to talk about. Right before we went to Synod, Pastor Amy and I went to a seminar in Holland, Michigan, about discipleship. And it talked about how it is that people grow and mature in their faith. We went there for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is, what season are we in right now in our church calendar year? Growing. Very good. So, how do we grow as disciples? How do we grow as followers of Jesus Christ? What do you think of the number one reason, the number one way, they called it the vanilla ice cream way, that people grow in their Christian faith? The answer is reflective reading of Scripture. Not just reading Scripture, but reflective reading of Scripture. When people read Scripture reflectively on a regular basis, they grow and they mature in their faith like nothing else. Do any of you guys know about a resource that enables you to read reflectively, read Scripture reflectively on a semi-regular basis? Ta-da! Right? I thought, how about that? How about that? Monroe knows, right? We know. We know what helps us grow and mature in the faith. We are on this journey together, right? We are reading reflectively. And if you have been doing it, my encouragement after going to that seminar and their encouragement to you is to keep on, right? To keep on doing it. Don't get off the bus. Don't get off the train. Stay on. Keep on reading. If you have gotten off the bus, if you haven't been doing it lately, or if you haven't got on yet, my encouragement to you is to please start. Please get on. Please join us on this journey. There's books back there. If you don't have a book or if you lost your book, there's another one back there. Right, please take it and use it and let it soak into your heart and into your life. Let it shape, let it form you, let it grow you. A number of you have talked with me, right, about, oh, this has been so good this year. This has been so helpful. We're getting up early. We're staying up late. I'm doing it over lunch. Right, I'm making time to allow God's Word to sink deeply into my heart and in my life. My encouragement is, way to go, right? Keep doing it. They call it the vanilla ice cream because vanilla is the most popular ice cream and it's the most popular by far, right? So if there's anything that you could do to help you grow and mature in your faith, it's to read and to ponder and to reflect and to question and to wrestle with it. We're going to be doing that this morning now. We're going to turn our attention to the text for today, for Ephesians chapter 1. And as we do, pray with me. Father, we come before you now. And we come before you now to read your word and to read it reflectively. And as we do, it's the desire of our hearts that you would speak to us, that you would grow us, that you would mature us, that you would shape us, that you would form us. No matter where we are at on that journey, whether we're just a seed or a sapling or a big strong oak, grow us some more, Lord. Grow us some more. This is our prayer for our time right now. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10. Found on page, what page is it? 827 if you're using a Bible. If you need a Bible, there's Bibles back there. Otherwise, listen as I read Ephesians chapter 1. Here Paul writes, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, that is, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So people of God, while we were on family vacation during these past 2 weeks, a number of people came up to me and they asked me this question. They said, is that your daughter over there? And I looked where they were pointing and I could see Megan and I said, yep, that's my daughter. Then they would look up at me and they would say, where did she get such long legs? And then looking down at them, I would say, she got them from her mother. Where did she get such long legs? I was even wearing shorts, you know? I'm like, she gets them from her mother, right? She gets them from her mother. Probably 10 people in the course of 2 weeks, total strangers, come up to me and say, is that your daughter over there? Or she's standing right next to me. Is this your daughter? Why? Yeah, that is. That's right. All of us here this morning, we have certain characteristics. We have certain traits. We have certain mannerisms that we receive from our parents. Characteristics that shape and form us as we grow and as we mature. Characteristics and traits that define us as our parents' child. Right? Megan really doesn't have a choice. Right? She doesn't have a choice about having long, thin legs, right? Because her parents both have long, thin legs. It's part of who she is. Because she's our child. In my case, it's my voice. So many people who know my father and me say that we sound just alike. I don't think that way because I hear myself and I hear him different, but they say that we sound just alike. When I still lived at home during the summers while I was in college, I would sometimes answer the phone and say, hello, this is Henry. And since my dad is also a Henry, there was lots of confusion in our house growing up, but they would assume that it was him and they would just start talking about something and I'd be like, what in the world are you talking about? And then I'd realize, oh, you think that I am he. So then when they would finally take a breath or stop, I would say, let me go get my dad. Right? It's you. It's he that you want to talk to. And they'd be like, oh, this isn't Henry? I'm like, yes, this is Henry, but it's not the Henry that you want. Right? Let me go get my dad. All of us have certain characteristics or traits that we receive from our parents. Characteristics that form and that shape us as we grow and as we mature. So tell me, what are two characteristics or traits or mannerisms that you have received from your parents? Things that have shaped and formed you as you have grown up as a child. Identify two and then share them with somebody nearby. Okay? Two things that you received from your mom or your dad. Share it with somebody nearby. And no laughing, please. All right, is anybody willing to share? Share one or two with the larger group. Characteristics or traits that you've received from your mom and or dad. Anybody brave enough? you'll go? Okay. I got to spend... Your dad was at Synod too, yes. I had to take a selfie with him, or he had to take a selfie with me with him. I told him to say we were at Walt Disney World. Did he put that on there? Oh, did he? Okay. Anyway. Next. You're a mere image of your mother. Okay. All right. It's true? All right, there's verification. Stunt double for your mom. Wonderful. Okay, anybody else? Characteristics or traits that you share with mom and dad. All right. Stubbornness. All right. There you go. All right.
I'm not sure if I use that word.
Was it less or more severe? All right. Stubbornness. All right. Good. Anybody else? Characteristics or traits that you... You okay, Sid? Okay. Really? Okay. How about that? So, all right. Always remembers numbers. Okay. Anybody else? Characteristics or traits or mannerisms they receive from mom and dad? Yeah. Strong work ethic. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else good looking like their mom and dad? Anybody else? No? Yeah. Looks? Yeah. All right. Okay. Whether we admit it or not, right, all of us, we have certain characteristics and traits that we receive from our parents. And these shape and they form us as we grow and as we mature into adulthood. And in the midst of this growing season that we find ourselves in, right, this season of our church year, and in our reading and seeking God's face for today in Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul, at the very beginning of this letter to the church in Ephesus, he identifies for us a number of different characteristics and traits of our Father in heaven, God the Father. Characteristics and traits that should shape and form us as we grow and as we mature as disciples and as followers of Jesus Christ. Characteristics, traits, mannerisms that should identify us as children of God. Not our mom and dad's child, but instead a child of God. All of us have been, right, adopted. We are adopted children of God. And when we are adopted, we share the mannerisms and the characteristics and the traits of our new parent. And our new parent is our Father in heaven. So Paul begins in verse 3 by writing this. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Paul begins his letter with a call to praise, a call for us to praise our God. And the word that Paul uses here is eulogetos, which means to be well spoken of or blessed. It's where we get our English word eulogy. Okay? And oftentimes, what happens during a eulogy? People speak well of the person who has died. They eulogize. They go back through the history and they take out all the bad parts, right? And they only put in the good parts, the well spoken parts, the celebratory parts. That's what Paul is calling you and me to do here, is to speak well of, right? To bless, to celebrate who our God is and what He has done for us. Why does Paul call us to do this? He gives us a number of characteristics, a number of identifying reasons why. First one is, he says, we should praise God for blessing us. The first characteristic that we share as children of God is that we are a blessed people. You and I, we are blessed by God. How are we blessed? Paul says we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And the note in the Reformation Study Bible says this about this verse. It says that Christ was raised from the dead and is now seated where? At the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. And from that place, he governs all things for the sake of the church. Moreover, believers, you and me, we have also been raised up, and we are seated with him in that heavenly place. What Paul is saying here is that from that position of authority, Christ blesses you and me. He blesses us with spiritual blessings, which are contrasted to earthly blessings. Spiritual blessings. Blessings such as grace and mercy, forgiveness. Blessings such as being able to intercede for us before the throne of the Father. Our God blesses us, right, by bringing the things of heaven to our hearts and our lives here on earth. He takes what's in heaven and he blesses us. He brings it here. He brings mercy and grace and forgiveness right here. Because of us, Paul says we need to praise God. We need to praise God for blessing us. We are a blessed people. The second thing that our God does is that he chooses us. Characteristic number two, we are a chosen people. Go with me, if you will, back to the playground during elementary school. Right? Two captains are chosen from the group. Right? Two captains are chosen to pick teams for the kickball game. Right? They are standing, one here, one there, and they're facing the group. Right? What is the desire of everyone that's standing in the group? What do they want to avoid? He laughs, so you know. What is it? Right, that being picked last. It's our greatest fear in elementary school. It's our greatest fear in adulthood, too. One of our greatest fears, right? To be the last one chosen. Nobody likes to be left out. Nobody likes to be left behind. Nobody wants to be the last one. All of us want to be chosen for the team. The good news that Paul reminds us here in verses 4 through 6 is that we are a chosen people. We are chosen by God to be His children. And this choosing was not a last minute or a leftover pick or, I think I'll take him. No, Paul says we were chosen when? Before the creation of the world. Paul reminds us that it was always God's desire to be in relationship with you and with me. Have you ever met anybody else that's always wanted to be in a relationship with you? Paul says in verses 4 through 6 that God chose us, that He predestined us, that is, that he picked us, that he decided beforehand that He wanted us to be His children. And He chose us for some specific reasons that Paul outlines for us. Some specific purposes. And reason number one is this. He chose us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. And the Greek word here for the adoption to sonship is a legal term. It's a legal term referring to the full legal standing of an adopted male heir in the Roman culture. And that legal standing enabled that heir to receive the inheritance, to receive the blessing of the Father. So just like an adopted male heir in ancient Rome, God chose you and He chose me. He picked all of us so that we could receive all the legal rights and all the privileges that come from being one of His children. God chose you and me so that we would receive the benefits that come from being His child. God didn't want us to miss out. God's desire is that we would all receive the inheritance that He desires to give. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He also chose us to be holy. He chose us to be set apart, to be distinct. The word holy means to be different from something else. And in this case, it means to be different than the world and to be like the Lord. To share the same character, the same traits of our Lord. In Leviticus 11, God says, "Be holy because I am holy. Be distinct because I am distinct. Be separate because I am separate. Be different because I am different." God chose you and He chose me for holiness. To be like Him, to follow His ways. And the third reason He chose us is to be blameless, to be without sin. The word means to be without fault or to be without error. God chose us in order to free us from our blemishes and from our faults, from our errors. He chose us to free us from our sin that easily entangles us. God's desire was that we would no longer be controlled by our sinful nature. God's desire was that you and I would experience freedom. Freedom from sin and its effects on our lives. So that we would no longer be strangled or bound or controlled, but that we would be freed and released. That we could have joy. The joy that we saw this morning. Okay? The joy of a found flip-flop. God chose us so that we would be blameless. The question is, how do we become heirs? How do we become holy? How do we become blameless? How do we receive this inheritance? Paul says that it's through Jesus Christ that we become a full legal heir of God. In verse 7 it says, it's in Him that we have redemption. It's through His blood. It's through the forgiveness of sins. It's in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. During our prayer time before church this morning, that word emerged, lavished. What do you think of when you hear that word, lavished? Lavished. Grace that is lavished upon us. Forgiveness that is lavished upon us. How do we receive that? It's through Jesus. Forgiveness of sins comes through God's grace in Jesus Christ. God chose you and He chose me for redemption. You and I were a redeemed people. Finally, Paul says in verse 9 of our text that we are to praise God for making known to us the mystery of His will. A third characteristic is that you and I, we're in the know. We're not in the dark. Right? We're in the light. We're in the know about what God's will is. And what is that mystery of God's will that He has made known? God's will, Paul says to us, is to bring unity, to unify all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. The will of God is that everything would be in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. That's the mystery. And that's been made known to us. We are in the know. Reverend Finlay's son, a retired Anglican minister from Australia, explains the mystery of God's will this way. He says, it's the truth that God in Christ is gathering a people to Himself to share His divinity for eternity. God has determined that those who share this blessing are not limited to a special family, the descendants of Abraham, or to a special religious group, people who keep the law, but rather to all who reach out in faith to Jesus. It's available to everyone, he says. To all who would seek Him. Friends, you and I, we live in a world that has plenty of things that divide, that separate, that disconnect us from our God. But God's will is that we're joined to Him and that we're connected to Him. And His will is not that just you or not just me is connected, but that all things, all people in heaven and on earth be connected to Him. Paul wants you and I, he wants to make sure that you and I know this. Right? And that not only do we know it, but that we receive it. That we call it our own. Then this morning, I want us to look again at all the things that God is doing in these verses. Things that He is doing in us, things that He is doing for us as His children, as children of God. I want us to look again at these things in order that they would shape and that they would form us as the people of God. Just as our height and our hair and our voices are shaped and are formed by our earthly parents as we grow and mature, so too we should be shaped and formed by the characteristics and the traits of our God and Father in heaven as we would grow and as we mature in our Christian walk of faith with Him. Hans Wiersma, who teaches in the religion department at Augsburg College in Minneapolis, he encouraged me and encourages you to consider the grammar in these verses. Consider the pronouns. Consider who is acting and who is being acted upon. Consider who gives and who receives. When we consider these things, we will see that God blesses us. He blesses you and me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We will see that we are a blessed people. We will see that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We will see that God destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. We will see that in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace that He has lavished on us. We will see that we are a chosen people. And finally, when we look at that grammar, we will see that God has made known to us, that He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ. We will see that we are an in-the-know people. my prayer that the blessing of Christ, it's my prayer that the choosing of Christ, and it's my prayer that the revelation of His will would take root in your heart and your life, that it would shape and form you as you grow and as you mature in Him. Pray with me this morning. Eternal God, the staggering truth that we are loved in Christ before the world was ever founded or formed dwarfs our imagination. The staggering truth that we were loved in Christ before the world was even founded or formed dwarfs our imagination. And while we cannot fathom it, it is our prayer that we let this truth and the characteristics and traits of who You are, God, that we let them bring us to our knees in gratitude, that we let them bring us to our knees in praise, that we may wholly love You who first so greatly loved us. Remind us, Lord, that this great truth is not only about us personally, us who are sitting here this morning, but remind us that this is true for everyone and for everything, that Your desire that all be connected, that all be united, that all receive You as Lord and Savior of their hearts and lives. Remind us that it's Your will to unite all things in Jesus Christ. Lord, this is an amazing plan. This is an amazing desire of Your heart. What a God You are. We bless You and we praise You this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To respond to God's Word this morning, we have the privilege of celebrating communion together, the sacrament of communion, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In verse 7 of our text for today, Paul writes that it's in Jesus Christ that we have redemption through the blood, through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. This morning we have an opportunity to eat the bread and to drink the juice. And as we do, we have an opportunity to remember and to celebrate this blessing of redemption. We celebrate that we have a redeeming God, a God who's in the business of redemption. We celebrate that we are redeemed through Jesus Christ. Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He encouraged His disciples, He encouraged His followers to eat and to drink and to remember and believe what He was about to do by going to the cross. He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is My body which is given for you. Take, eat. As you do, remember and believe that I came so that you might be forgiven." And then He took the cup. And He said, "This is cup of my blood. It's a new covenant. It represents my blood which will be shed for you. He said, take, drink, and as you do, remember that I came so that you might be forgiven. So today, as we eat and as we drink, we have an opportunity to remember once again and to believe, not only to believe, but also to celebrate and to bless and to praise our God for who He is and what He has done, to celebrate Him for His characteristics and His traits and His mannerisms that shape and form who we are as His children. So I invite you, as we sing, to come and to allow these characteristics to grow within you, to shape you, to form you as one of His followers. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you profess Him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come. There's two tables here. Come when you are ready. Come, and as you do, come and praise. Come and celebrate. Come and remember. Come and believe. Let's celebrate as we sing.